So, okay, good. Good morning. How are we?
Great.
Super.
Good.
Super. Well, listen, while people are calling in, let me just see how people are doing. We're going to just take a few minutes. Who had something good happen in the last 30 days? Who had something horrible happen in the last 30 days? Does anybody have anything you want to... Go ahead. Who is this?
This is Jennifer. I'm calling from Chicago. I attended when you were out here in Oak Brook a few weeks ago.
Yes. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing just wonderful, Jennifer. What's going on?
I'm about to sign paperwork for my first listing because I'm a new agent. We had shared that information.
Yes.
I'll be doing that tomorrow. And there's a possibility I'll also be picking up a second listing next week as well.
Awesome, Jennifer. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, I wanted to make a joke. You know, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, if you never went, you were always called a virgin. And once you see it for the first time, you no longer are. So there you go, Jennifer. Good job. So let me ask you, this listing that you got, where did it come from?
It was a referral, actually. I've been an agent for 6 months now, so this is kind of a seed that I planted maybe about 3-4 months ago.
Okay, good. All right, super. Go ahead. And it came from where? Go ahead.
I'm sorry, a referral. It was a referral.
Okay. All right, well, good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And so the second one that you might get, where did that come from?
Oddly enough, this is the story. I sent a direct mail piece for an expired listing. I was working the expired listings. The person didn't call me the homeowner. The homeowner's friend did.
Mm-hmm.
So she listed her girlfriend to kind of weed out real estate agents, and they were impressed with my direct mail piece. So that's why the friend called. She is the one that pretty much did the phone interview with me and then referred me back to the homeowner.
Okay. Well, very good.
Directly through a direct mail piece.
Now, listen, Jennifer, are you still calling FSBOs and expireds, or do you stop doing that after the class?
No. That has actually picked up since the class. And since the class, I probably have physically met with maybe about 7 FSBOs.
Great. Now, that's awesome. So, Jennifer and everybody else on the call, let's just talk about that for a minute. And let's officially start the call. Let me do some instructions, and then, Jennifer, I want to address what you just said. So, first of all, I want to welcome everybody. We have some new power agents on the call, and so this is your first time. And I know we've got some people from the roster that I have here on the call. We've got people all over the world on the call, so I want to welcome people that are in different hours and different time zones. This is a live session, right? So we are recording it, but there's no delay, so make sure you don't do anything obscene or any weird comments. And that wasn't directed to you, Jennifer. That's for everybody. By the way, you guys have to laugh when I tell jokes. Otherwise, I'm going to stop telling jokes, and it's going to be a very serious conference call. Very good. Thank you for that one laughter. All right. Now, make sure you don't use your hold button. So if you decide to walk away from the call, if you push hold on, then we're going to hear the music in the background, and it'll mess up the call. If you have a speakerphone, the best thing to do is to hit *6 on your keypad, and that'll just take out any background noise, okay? Let me see what else we have. All right. And then now here's the point of the call. I'm just looking over my notes, gang, so to make sure I cover all the pieces. Here's what we're going to do. The purpose of this call is to do three things. Number one is to go through the magazine. The magazine is on the website. The website is thepowerprogram.com. Now, as power agents, you should have a username and password that was sent to you. And if you didn't get that email, because that happens a lot, you know, goes into spam or junk folders, you can call my office and they can give it to you. Or I think the website might even have a way to try and retrieve your password. But we're going to go over the magazine that's on the website. And if you can't get to the site or you didn't print it out, just make notes of what I say. So if you have something that you can take notes on, write page number, bada bing, and then when I make a comment about it, make some notes next to it. So when you can open up the magazine, you'll be able to go back to your notes and merge it together. The second thing is I'm going to address some coaching call questions. Some people sent me emails ahead of time, questions that they have. They may be on the call, they may not, but we're recording it so they can always listen to the answer later. And then give you some extra material. If we have time, I'll give you the extra material. I am going to open up the call to everybody to ask questions. And so the extra material will come at the end if we have the time. All right. So let me first address Jennifer, and then I'm going to address the emails, go through the magazine, and then answer any questions you guys have. So Jennifer just, not that she had a question, but what she just shared for those of you just coming onto the call is she shared that, you know, she's a new agent. She's been doing it 6 months. She's got a listing that was a referral, has another one possibly coming. She's been going on a lot of FSBO appointments, calling FSBOs and expireds, and she's gone on 7 appointments right now. And Jennifer, you haven't listed any of the 7, correct?
No, not at all.
All right, so what you want to start to look at, Jennifer, and I want to maybe take just 3 minutes to talk to you. If you go on 7, that many FSBO appointments, there could be something you're doing or not doing that's having you not leave with the listing, okay? And now it could be just a matter of confidence. You know, if these are the first seven listing appointments you've gone on in your whole career, you know, as far as FSBOs, well, that may be just getting your feet wet and it's a learning curve, and that's fine. But if that's not the case, or especially anybody listening who's been in real estate for more than, you know, their first year, and they wouldn't consider themselves a new agent, they have the confidence and experience, well, then there's definitely a challenge to go on 7 listings and not get at least the one. So there's different skill sets. So Jennifer, I'm talking to everybody. When it comes to prospecting FSBOs and expireds, and if you might remember me talking about this in this 3-day class last month, but the first level is just making the call, getting past the fear of calling FSBOs and expireds. So that's the first thing. Some agents don't get past the first. If you got past the first, which it sounds like, Jennifer, you have, you're like halfway home to success. The second one is actually the skill of getting in the door. Getting in the door on a FSBO is a different skill than going to the FSBO and actually leaving with the listing. So I've seen some agents that they could be really great on the phone and getting the appointment, but they don't get to the listing when they're belly to belly. I've actually seen the opposite. I've seen some agents that, you know, you get them in, if they can get in front of a FSBO, they're awesome, and they'll list 2 out of 3, but they just can't get in the door. So that's also possible. It sounds like you're getting in the door, it's picking up for you, which is great. So you want to kind of look at what are you doing or not doing on the appointment that might be having you not get the listing. So I don't want to talk about every single individual one because we don't have the time to do that. But as an overall, Jennifer, do you feel confident when you're going, or are you still nervous?
No, I'm pretty confident when I go in. And a lot of these FSBOs, they've only been on the market maybe about a week. By the time I contact them. So they are very, very still adamant. They haven't been beaten down yet by the market and everything else, so they're fairly confident, and they are really, really headstrong on pretty much listing themselves. So my approach has been really just to be a resource right now, because they even complain on the phone that realtors are calling them all the time. They've been very adamant about not listing. So I've just tried to take a more softer approach, and I just have a conversation with them once I get there to build a rapport and everything, obviously, and I do that while they're actually showing me and going through the house. So
good.
I just tell them that, you know, I do serve as a resource for all homeowners, whether or not you list with me or not, and that kind of catches them off guard a little bit because it's not used to what they're hearing from most realtors.
Yeah.
So I let them know that I do have resources for, you know, for sale by owners like yourself who've chosen this to go at it by yourselves. So I refer them to my website. I use a lot of your tips for FSBOs, if it's the security check, marketing tips, so forth and so on. And then I kind of build up to the listing. And I say, you know, if in the future you decide that you just don't want to handle this responsibility anymore, I'd be more than happy to market on your behalf. And I've gotten a lot of positive responses. They respond very well to it. They constantly tell me it's a different approach. And to be honest, several of them have already committed that if it doesn't work, that they'll definitely utilize me. And
okay, great. Now, Jennifer, let me. Can I give you some coaching now?
Please.
Okay. Now, first of all, you articulated very well right now, so I can sense your confidence. So, yeah, that's a great thing. And I'm going to be a little ruthless with you, and I may not be right. I may not be right with what I'm saying, but I feel like I'm right. Okay, so I'm gonna get aggressive with you. First of all, the reason why people may be responding positively is because you're not pushing them. So of course they're going to respond positively. Wow, that's really nice. Thank you very much for not trying to close me. Just like if you went to a store looking at shoes or clothes, you know, we don't want salespeople to close us, yet we may be interested in buying. So yes, you're going to get a positive response. But I will tell you, there's two things. Number one is that when they are ready to list, don't be surprised if they don't call you. And the reason why that would be is, as much as people don't want to be closed, when it does come to their house and coming time to pick a realtor, they do want a closer. They do want an aggressive salesperson that's going to, you know, push to get their property sold at the highest possible price. So subconsciously, if you're not aggressive enough to ask them to hire you, then you're not aggressive enough to sell their house. Again, I may not be right with what I'm saying, but I think I am, based on my experience. Now,
okay.
here's the second thing, Jennifer, is that if you remember in Sure Results, I showed you five reasons why a homeowner not only does not save the commission, but they actually lose money. So in some respects, you're actually doing them a disservice by you not being a little bit more aggressive in them hiring you. Because if they do sell on their own and you're a resource for them and you help them sell their own home, you're helping them lose money. Now, if you don't think that that's true, that they don't lose money selling on their own, if you think that they can sell on their own successfully and save the commission, why the heck would you even ask for the listing in the first place? And then the next question would be, why are you even going over there? So if you believe that a for sale by owner is losing money, I think you owe it to them for you to be aggressive in communicating that point. Now, you can still do it, Jennifer, in a very Jennifer way. You know, you don't have to be as aggressive with me as me or as some other people. You know, do it in your style. But if you had a friend that was in need and you had a friend that was in trouble, or if you had a friend who was on drugs or had a drinking problem, I think you probably would jump in to try and help them in some way, aggressively, but with a nice approach that Jennifer is. So I like you to kind of look at it that way with the homeowner. If you build enough rapport with them I'm going to suggest that you do try something on. Is that it sounds like it's been working really well for you and you feel comfortable with what you have been doing. Am I correct in that?
Yes, and something I didn't share. I have gotten a commitment to follow up with them on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do when I follow up in like the following week after the appointment, I kind of share a quick market stats. Like, for example, I had a woman who said they'd definitely like to be out of where they are within 2 to 3 months at the max because they've already purchased another home out of state. Well, I looked up the market stats in that area, and that's certainly not going to happen at their price point. So I'll follow up in a week and share that with her.
Okay, listen, that's all good stuff that you're doing, and you've got a really nice approach, so that's great. But I go back to what I said earlier.
Okay.
If you believe what I taught you, that for sale by owners lose money, then you should not be helping them sell their own home in any way.
Okay.
The opposite is true. What you need to do, if you're committed to helping people, is you need to explain to them how this is a bad idea. Now, here's what I'm going to suggest that you try on, like an experiment, maybe the next 7 appointments. Do everything that you've been doing, going over there, building rapport, touring the house, letting them know you have resources, the whole 9 yards. But once you feel that you've got that connection going, I'd like you to ask them, if you knew that, if you don't mind, would you be offended if I asked you a question? They'll say, no, of course not. We like you, Jennifer.
Okay.
If you knew that doing it this way, that actually it could cost you more money than you're saving, would you be interested in knowing how to maybe put more money in your pocket? Something like that. Do it. Do Jennifer's dialogue. But ask for permission for you to show them some stuff that maybe they weren't aware of. I'm sorry,
okay.
What was that?
Could you just repeat that? Say that one more time.
I would say, Mr. or Mrs. Hanna. Hey, gang, are you still there? Gang,
yes.
Is anybody? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Good. I don't know what happened to the call. Somehow it just dropped. So you can hang on a second. What was the last thing you guys heard me say?
I don't know what happened to the call.
I don't know what happened to the call either. It's technology. It's great when it works.
Oh, wasn't just me. Okay, okay.
No, it wasn't you guys at all. So anybody that somehow the call's been reset, so anybody that's on a speakerphone, you may want to hit *6. That'll mute you on your end. Jennifer, what was the last thing you heard me say, Jennifer?
I know that I was asking, Darryl, this is Keisha. I was asking if you didn't mind, would you be offended if I...
Okay, Keisha, so that was the last thing you heard me say. I started to answer that, or you asked.
Yes,
and that
was when you start to answer that, to repeat that. How would
wow.
I say...
Okay, let me... I was talking for, like, since then, and I just now called back. So, obviously, I gave a lot of material. I'm going to do it again. I'm sorry, gang. I don't know what happened. It was... we just lost the call for whatever reason. So, for those of you that are just joining us back, and we had a little bit of a technical problem, the good thing is that I recorded, and Keisha, I think I recorded everything you guys did not hear. So I'm going to be posting on the website what I said. I'm going to do it again anyway. Jennifer, are you back with us?
Yes, I just got back.
Oh, Darryl,
okay,
this
good.
Is Elaine Consalvo.
Hi, Maureen.
Elaine.
Elaine, hi, Elaine.
I had asked you a question, and you said you'd answer it. So anyway, just wanted
okay,
to
make
sure
I was here. All right, good, Elaine, and I have your answer for you here. Let me just finish
okay.
with Jennifer and Keisha, okay?
No problem.
So, all right, so apologize, gang. Thanks for your patience. So what we were just saying, what Keisha wanted me to hear again, is that, Jennifer, to get a little bit more aggressive on the appointment and asking for it, you know, or asking permission to talk to them, is I would say, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, would you be offended if I just ask you a question? Now, I would ask that after you've been there for about a half hour and you've built the rapport the way you've been building with them, Jennifer.
Okay.
So would you be offended if I ask you a question? They say, no, of course not. Well, here's my question. If you knew that actually taking this approach and what you're doing and trying to sell the property, that it actually could be costing you more money than you're saving, and if I can show you how to put more money in your pocket, would that be of interest to you?
Okay.
So that's how I would ask. And when they say yes, they'd be interested in that, that gives you permission to now start and be, you know, have a listing conversation with them.
Okay.
Now, here's something else, Jennifer, that I think would really help you, and this is on the other recording. So I may have to post, gang, two recordings for this month because when the call had the technical difficulties, it stopped the recording and I restarted it again. But anyway, because I said some good stuff there, and I'm going to try to recreate it right now. Because, Jennifer, at some point you may want to say to them, you know, because a lot of there's a misconception that homeowners have in selling their own home is that they actually save money. But there's several reasons that actually show that homeowners selling on their own lose about 20% than if they hired a realtor. Now, I'm not saying this, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, because I want you to hire me. I've only been here about a half hour, and, you know, I really like you guys, and I feel like I can talk straight and honest with you. But if you don't feel confident about me or my abilities, I wouldn't want you to hire me. So this is not about you hiring me, but this is about you finding somebody that you do like and trust, a realtor, so you can sell your house and stop losing money. See, I'll show you an example, and then I would go to an example in the page. In your book, and whether it's you talk about the eBay or Ethan Allen, or you talk about you know, Charlie Sheen negotiating directly with the producers versus having somebody in between, like a realtor is an in-between between the buyers and sellers, whatever analogies, and start to share stuff with them. And Jennifer, because of your style is you don't want to, you know, be aggressive, then I think you saying this is not about me trying to get you to list your house. This is about you trying to sell your house for the highest possible price. Because, you know, think about it, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana. If there wasn't some kind of value that I and other realtors bring, there wouldn't be almost a million realtors in the United States. We'd be out of business. I mean, it makes no sense that there'd be a million of us making a living unless we're helping people and not hurt people. And there's a misconception that homeowners have that realtors hurt because of the commission, and that's why they don't work with us or they try to do it on their own. And then eventually they wind up doing it anyway 85% of the time with a realtor. But they've lost some valuable time. So anyway, so did you get that, Jennifer?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much. I
appreciate
it.
Thank you. Yes.
Did that help you, Keisha?
It did.
Yeah, so just Jennifer, just kick it up a notch, okay? You know,
okay.
I don't want you to be an aggressive, you know, obnoxious person. But like I said earlier, either you believe a homeowner selling on their own is losing money or they're saving money. And if they're saving money, then you're lying to them to ask them to hire you. And then you shouldn't even be a realtor. So if you believe in your heart that people need a realtor because it helps them save money and all the other reasons, then you're doing a disjustice or disservice to them by not at least trying to ask for the business in a polite, non-pushy Jennifer away when you go there the first time you see him, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Oh. And great job, and keep it up. All right, so now, Elaine, you're still with me?
Yes, I am.
And also,
hi.
Jennifer Dowdy, I don't know if you're on the call, Jennifer.
That's me.
Okay, good. So both of you emailed me questions ahead of time. So let me address those, and then we're going to jump to the magazine because there's some really great stuff in the magazine this month. Well, I say that every month because I think every month is, like, great stuff. But and, of course, I can't find my notes right now. But anyway, hang on a second. Oh, my goodness, because I got flustered with the trouble that we had with the computer. All right, but anyway, let me address Elaine. Here's Elaine, you said you had surgery, rehab,
right.
You lost approximately over $1 million in business, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Actually, Jen, do you mind if I read, Elaine, your question? Because I think it'll really help people if I do that.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, great.
Go ahead.
Let me see here. Let me just, okay. So here's what she said. Since the surgery and rehab, I have lost approximately over $1 million in business. I lost one high-dollar buyer over $700K, one listing over $350, two buyers, blah, blah, blah. I now have a two multi-family listing and three buyers that I had to share with other agents. I have an appointment with a physician tomorrow at the end of the month. I'd like to know, here's the question, I'd like to know if you have any ideas as to how I may be able to gain some of the dollars I've lost. I'm trying to at least break even this year. Not sure if it's possible. Any ideas? Okay, so, Elaine, here's the first bit of advice that I have for you, and it's the hardest one to implement,
yeah.
And that is you cannot compare this year to last year.
Okay.
Because the more you do that and you look at what you lost, you're going to keep losing more because the brain is a really interesting thing. It's, you know, there's that whole concept of law of attraction. Whatever you think of most, that's what you're going to attract in your life. Men usually get nervous when I say this because I think they're going to turn into a woman because that's all they think about. But so
I'll be a
what you
downer.
Yeah, you'll be a listener. Yeah, if you keep saying that how this, what you had to go through with the surgery and the business that you lost, you're going to create a spiral effect and you're never going to get out of this black hole, okay?
All right.
So, and I got that this is real. I got that there's money concerns, business concerns, but you never drive your car staring in the rearview mirror.
All right,
okay?
Sounds good.
So don't do that. You need to look forward, okay? That's
mm-hmm.
the first thing. Second thing is you need to schedule prospecting. You know, right now prospecting
okay.
for listings, gang, is perhaps the best thing that you all can be doing, and here's several reasons why. First of all, sellers that are coming out this time of year, they definitely want to sell. So we're going to see more listings, we're going to see more physicals, more expireds, more opportunities, and so that's a good thing. That's number one. Number two is because we're having financing problems on a nationwide scale, meaning that buyers are not getting approved for their business. Hang on a second, gang. I'm just having a little bit of a technical problem here to deal with for you guys. Ugh, this call really threw a kink into things a little bit. The fact that I'm hearing more and more from agents on how they're having problems closing deals with their buyers is another reason why, because they're not getting the more financing, is another reason why it's so important to build your listing inventory, because if you have a buyer, you invest time and money in showing property and bringing them to something, bringing it into contract, and even if you have that pre-commitment letter, we're noticing that those are actually not working either. Because they have a pre-commitment letter, and then the banks say, yeah, well, we still need this, this, and this. Oh, you know what? You're not going to get the money, or the property doesn't appraise out, or blah, 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 blah. And so you've had all this time put into this buyer. The deal falls apart, but you're still left with the buyer, which is maybe not good. But if you have the listing and a deal falls apart, you can bring another buyer to the property and still put another deal together. So there's all these reasons why building inventory right now is so important. So Elaine, for you, you need to schedule prospecting and commit to that schedule. Okay? So pick certain days, certain times. If you need to have somebody go with you into the office, hit the phones together, but you need to prospect. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yep. Just,
the last thing is, well, I'm sorry, go ahead, Elaine.
I have to schedule like at least 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, what I would do is me personally, I would, there's two approaches, okay? I can't tell you what I do now in my business is different than what I would do as an agent. So as an agent, what I would tell you to do is do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and pick a time. I used to do 6 to 8. Okay, so Sunday, okay. Monday, Tuesday, 6 to 8, those are the times that I'd be focusing on prospecting. Okay,
6 in the evening to 8 at night.
Yes. Now, the problem with the problem that'll start to happen, and it happens for all salespeople, and it even happens to me, is that once you do that and you start generating business, like I started prospecting again on the telephone for my business as a speaker because I have a new seminar. I want to get the word out. Well, in just 2 days of making calls, I've generated all these leads and good stuff. So now the problem is that I need to follow up with these leads and send them something, blah, 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 blah. And when that happens, I stop prospecting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what we're doing here in my office is that we're saying, listen, no matter what, the first thing in the morning, I see now my mine is a business hour thing, so it's different. But you calling FSBOs at 9 in the morning is not a good idea because they'll probably be at work unless they are using cell numbers. And if they're using cell numbers and you're finding more and more of that, then maybe that is good. But to at least for like 30 minutes, see, this is what we're doing now in my business, Monday through Friday, 30 minutes every day, make new calls to new business. And that has to be part of the regimen. And as more business comes, we can't break from that habit. It's just like what I've said before. You got to get into the habit of going to the gym. And once those nutty people that love to go to the gym like 5-6 days a week, and I mean that as a compliment if any of you are on the call, I'm actually jealous of you. So if you get in the routine of going to the gym 6 days a week, from three to five, whatever the time is, anybody will tell you, Elaine, if they miss 1 or 2 days, they feel like upset with themselves. They feel physically lethargic because their body chemically has gotten addicted to the endorphins that are generated from working out. You want to create the same kind of physical attachment to prospecting, that if you miss a day or you miss your schedule, it'll piss you off because you know you lost money. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, except that's one of the parts that I really have to force myself to do. So I have to
box yourself in, hon, whether it's you do it with somebody else, whether you put it on your schedule, whether whether you say, no matter what the hell goes on, if it helps you, listen, it would be better to say, see, the problem with us prospecting between 6 and 8, it's at the end of the day, and it's easy for all of us on this call, that we're in the office, it's 2 o'clock, it's 3 o'clock, all of a sudden something's happening, a buyer calls us, the kids call us, the car breaks down, and when it comes to 6 o'clock, we may push it off maybe to 6:30 or 7 or even to the next day because of all the other stuff. When you do prospecting at the end of your day, it's so much harder than if you make it the first thing of the day. And I even when I was training for the marathon, I hated running in the morning because I didn't get high like people get this high. I got tired. So if I ran at 6 in the morning, it really kind of wiped me out the rest of the day. So I tried running at night. And the problem with running at night was, you know, I didn't feel like doing it either. I would want to keep working on something I was working. So I had to go back to the morning, even though it hurt me in the afternoon. I had to do that. Otherwise, I wasn't going to do it. So the same thing with the prospecting. Just finishing this point, Elaine, if you know that you're not going to stick to 6 to 8 because of all the other daily distractions that come right before 6 o'clock, then do it at 9 in the morning or 10 in the morning. Make it the first thing you do. Even though you may not get a lot of people home because they're at work, it's better that you at least do 30 minutes of only getting a hold of one person every day than to call it or to say I'll do it at 6 and not do it at all, don't get a hold of anybody. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes, it does.
Okay. So whatever's going to keep you accountable, do that. All right.
Okay.
And Elaine, cool. I'm praying for you. Be fine, okay? Just the motion impacts emotion. So if you're if you're emotionally down because you're worried about your finances, get up off your butt, shake the trees. Be the cause in your life. Don't be the effect of what has happened to you, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, sweetie.
I'll follow your advice.
All right, hon, great.
Thanks.
Now, Jennifer, you're welcome. Jennifer, she says, I was recently downsized from my job as a pharmaceutical sales rep during the 7 years I had this position. I've developed strong relationships with over 100 primary care physicians. My ultimate goal in my real estate career is to list and sell luxury homes. What are some potential ideas to market to these physicians in my new role as a realtor and leverage my relationships with them? So, Jennifer, are you still with me?
Yes.
Here's what I here's a couple of thoughts that I have, okay? Number one is what I would do if you've got some wealthy people is you need a reason to call them if you've lost touch with these people or if you haven't introduced yourself as a realtor. So if you've got 100 physicians, let's say, how many of those 100 are actually looking to buy a property, to buy a new home? Maybe one or two, whatever that number is. So we don't want to call these people saying, hey, look, I'm in real estate now. Are you thinking about, you know, moving? Or are you thinking about buying a new home? Whatever. What I would do is approach them as an investment or as an investor. Because a lot of physicians, these 100 you have, maybe only one or two are thinking about moving, but there'll be a much higher percentage of that group that might be interested to taking some of the money that they make and buying real estate. To quote Warren Buffett, if he could right now, he would buy a couple of 100,000 residential real estate properties because it's performing better than stocks. This is Mr. Stockman saying that houses are better than stocks. So what I would do, Jennifer, is I would look at some rental properties or properties that could be flipped because they're priced so low, whatever the case is, I will look for some of those pieces, and that would be a reason to call your physicians to introduce yourself, saying, I'm just calling you to let you know. Do these people know you're in real estate?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
They're familiar with the industry changing, so they were real concerned in terms of what my next step would be, so that kind of opened up the conversation for the real estate. So they were aware prior to my being downsized.
Okay, so what I would do is I would say, listen, I wanted to, you know, Mr. Doctor, I'm calling you because there's a couple of things. First of all, what I'm starting to do for some of my special past relationships, such as yourself, is I'm offering what's called a neighborhood market report. You know, there's a lot of concern what's happening in the marketplace, and so a lot of people are concerned about their own home and how it's been impacted by today's market. So I put together, it's called a neighborhood market report. It shows you what other buyers have paid for houses in your market area, which helps you determine what's happening to the neighborhood. So number one is I like to share that with you. Number two is that some of the people I'm working with are finding a real buying opportunity. I don't know if you saw recently, Warren Buffett was quoted on CNBC on television saying if if he could, if he had the structure in place, he would like to buy a couple of 100,000 residential properties because they're performing better than stocks long term. So we put together some packages really for physicians to get a good rate of return on their money. So there's a couple of things I'd like to share with you. I mean, are you interested in any one of those two things?
Okay.
Jennifer, how is that?
Good.
Yeah. So that's what I would do there. The third thing I would do is stay in touch with these people quarterly. Come up with things that you can send to them, mailing pieces, gifts, whatever it is, but come up with a quarterly mailing program where you're going to still stay in touch with these people quarterly. So I would first, just to recap what I said, I would find some investment property. I would put together even a flyer or something that talks about the neighborhood market report, which, by the way, Jennifer, that is basically what I'm talking about is a CMA, but I like calling it the neighborhood market report.
Okay.
All right. So I would put that together. I would then make my hello call to them, and then I would probably half of them will be interested in one of the two things that I just said. And then I would stay in touch with these people quarterly. Okay?
Okay.
All right, great. Now, gang, let me go to the magazine. Whew. And I am – hang on one second. I just want to make sure I'm not having any technical problems. No, we're still good. Okay, good. The magazine, again, if you don't have the magazine in front of you, just make notes of the page numbers and some of the things that I said because there's some really great, great, great stuff that I gave you this month. On page 20, now the magazine every month has a transcription of the person we interviewed for the month. And but page 20, there's a flyer from one of our power leaders. This is one of the people that coached for us. Her name's Joanne Mills. And she's an exit agent. She has a team that works for her. So she gave us some stuff that she uses. Page 20 is good, but I want to jump to page 21. On page 21, and those of you that are taking notes, 21, 22, 23, 24, these pages are, she put together, she was coaching one of our students, because for those of you that know, we do one-on-one coaching too. And so it's one of her student, one of her power agents that Joanne is coaching for us, was talking about putting together an expired packet. And what they would do is mail in like a FedEx looking envelope. Now it's not actually FedEx. It's like the, you can get these envelopes at the stationery store, at Staples. It looks like maybe a FedEx, so but it's regular postage, the size of whatever that postage is for that. So it's not very expensive. And she would mail to these expireds this little packet, these pages that I just told you. Now 21 is a graph that shows just how awesome her company is. Now, for those of you that have it in front of you, I will tell you the improvement I have about page 21 is this graph is showing condominiums and residential. And when you look at the graph, the condos is so small line, I actually don't like it. So I would have taken the condos off and just kept it simple and show residential or include the condo sales with the residential number as one bar versus having the two separate bars. Page 22 is actually the cover letter that would go in this expired packet. And for those of you that don't have it in front of you, let me just read so you get a sense of this thing. It says, the reason your home didn't sell may not be the price. When you're given the right marketing exposure in today's real estate market, how do you reach today's tech-savvy buyers? According to the National Association of Realtors statistic, the average age of today's realtor is the average age of today's home buyer is 31. The average age of a realtor is 51. Personally, I don't actually like that line. I would take that out. But there's something in here that she wrote somewhere that I do like. Hang on, I'm going to find it. The average buyer looks on the internet so many times it's buried in here, I can't find it. But I like that stat. That was good. This page 22 has some great graphics. It says, here's basically, and get your home sold to today's market. It may not be priced. What you need is social media marketing, website syndication, text messaging, an 800 number, call capture system, custom flyers, a trifold brochure, television marketing, home warranty. And of course, these things that she's listing, this is what she does for her sellers, and then she describes it. It's a really awesome, awesome two-page front and back flyer, and that's the cover letter 23 that goes in this FedEx-looking envelope. Page 24 also is in there. It says, the spring market is in full swing. I love that. It just sounds so great. In the month of April, Massapequa, where she works, here's the number of homes that have sold, 90. I'm sorry, number of new homes that came on the market, 90. Number of homes sold is 27. And the number of homes going into contract is 39. That's more than three new homes coming on the market and more than two homes selling every day. What's great about this flyer is it's telling an expired who is probably feeling depressed or down and out that they haven't sold their property. Joanne's flyer is saying, man, the market is in full swing. Things are wonderful here in Massapequa and Massapequa Park. Here's the stats. I really love that. And she has also in the center of the flyer, it says, priority sale, your total realty resource. I would have changed that to, I would have said something like, find out now about our priority sale system, your total realty resource. So I would have given it a name by calling it a system, all right, and telling people to find out about it. And the last thing she has on here, she said, call us to set up your no obligation appointment today. I would have changed that call to action instead of it saying, call us to set up your no obligation appointment today. I would have had it say, call us to set up an appointment. I'm making this up as I go along. Hang on. Call us today to find out about our priority sale system and how it can help sell your house today. That would have been a better, I think, call to action. And then plus, as a thank you, we're going to take you out to dinner. That's right. Just for having a conversation with us, we're going to give you a $100 restaurant.com gift card free. So that's what I would have done to improve on it. That's but a lot of stuff that I love about it. Love, love, love the idea of a FedEx envelope to expires. And then page 25 is also part of the package. It says, how do you find buyers in today's market? Do you Facebook? Do you upload a video on YouTube? Do you have a smartphone with apps? Do you tweet? Well, your buyers do, and so do we. To successfully sell your home in today's market, you better be sure that your home is featured right where they're looking. Oh, and here's the percentage. It's on page 25. It says, I don't like this. According to the study by NAR, and the average age of a home buyer is 30. I think that's nice. But actually, I think that hurts you to put that on a flyer that you're sending to expireds, because if you're sending that to an expired and they're 50 or 60 years old, you're not going to connect with that homeowner. As a matter of fact, they may be like, yeah, they're young yuppies. It might even work against you. That stat on this flyer does not serve any good purpose whatsoever. But the next line does. Percentage that said they primarily use the internet to search for a home. So the percentage that said in today's market that are currently using the internet search for a home, 89%. I like that stat, and I know that's because they're young, but forget that. Take that out. T. Mills uses cutting-edge technology to market your home, and we get it sold. I like that. It says, call us today for free market consultation. I like the word cutting in the T. Mills thing because it made me think of commission. And in this case, we're not saying that, but it's a positive word for homeowners. So that was good. All right, page 26. Love the idea. Page 26 now. This is a letter that I got from my optometrist a couple of years ago after I went to the appointment. He sent me this letter. It says, we just wanted to take a moment to thank you for visiting our office. On blah, 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 you've selected an office which utilizes the very latest technology, equipment, and technology to safeguard to safeguard your vision. You can be assured you will be treated in a friendly and professional manner. Anyway, what blew me away is, so I go to this optometrist and I get a thank you letter for coming to the office. Now, I've already ordered the glasses and everything else, so there we got my money. Awesome customer service, great letter. It made me start to think this is a great letter to actually send, after you meet a buyer for the first time, or after you go on a listing appointment, Jennifer, you go on a FSBO and you don't get the listing. So there's a lot of great uses for a thank you letter like this. Now, with this guy, what he did is he has this optometrist, he has a PS. He says, laser vision correction is available through my office. In addition, many medical eye problems such as blah, blah, I can't even say some of this stuff, can be treated at my office. So he's giving. So if I came in to pick up eye drops, his PS is telling me, hey, listen, we got some other things that you may be interested in. And that's an awesome idea. So let's say you do a listing appointment. You may put a PS in there, thanks for having me come over. By the way, we have a new report, or we have the seller success system that I could always share with you. So some other thing to have people call you back for. And the same thing with a buyer. You know, thanks for stopping in the office, and I'm glad we looked at some houses. You know, by the way, I'm going to keep you apprised of anything that I think is going to help you in finding a property, or anything that's a shiny penny, a hot house in your price range. I'll make sure to call you. By the way, next time we meet, I have this other program that I could share with you. So I love this idea. Next page, 27. Oh, look at the time, man. Okay. Listen, before I go on with this packet, because there's some really great stuff in here, and I'm afraid I'm going to run out of time. Does anybody have any other questions that you want me to coach you on? So let me do that now, and if I have time, I'll finish the pack. Yeah, go ahead. Who is it?
It's Keisha from Queens. I listed a property, Daryl, and the it's a father and son that lives there. The father wants to sell. The son really doesn't. You know, so they've been given problems with access. So I listed it as private, like an exclusive. They're not on the multiple listing, but they're at a very aggressive price. And I want to put them out there on multiple to get the maximum exposure and, you know, to let somebody else come in and sell it. You know, how do I try to get them to move from, okay, the son really, because the dad is like, okay, but the son and his wife to let us in, you know.
Okay, so let me ask you this. First of all, who's on the deed?
It doesn't really show. It's really cluttered. It's a nice house, but they have so much stuff there. It's really cluttered. So a lot of the pictures doesn't really show. It's maybe like two or three good pictures.
Keisha, who's on the deed? Who owns the house?
The dad.
So the son's just in the way?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, good. As long as you got the sellers committed to selling, because if they weren't, you can't be more committed than they are, right?
That's what I told them.
So, the best way to sell a property like that is to not just do the traditional, you know, call, set up an appointment, show it. What you're going to have to do is do kind of like an auction, okay? Now, I will tell you, it's a shame that auctions here in the U.S. haven't really taken off like they have in other parts of the world and like Europe. I mean, 60% of the properties sold in Australia are actually done through auctions, and it works really well. But I'm not saying an actual auction, but kind of like this. Are you still with me, Keisha?
I'm listening. Mm-hmm.
All right, no, because I heard a click, and I'm like gun-shy now about the technology on our phone. So what I would do, Keisha, is I would explain to the realtors, because that's the thing that you don't want to do. You don't want to upset all the realtors that they can't get access to a great listing, because then they're going to take it out on you. So what I would do is I would confess the truth in the MLS. Say that to show this property is very difficult. So how we're setting up showings this month is on this date, you know, do an open house for brokers to bring their buyers, okay?
Okay.
So do schedule Saturday. Anybody that wants to bring, this is an incredibly priced aggressively home. This will sell quickly. We're going to be opening it up to all showings. Just come by, no need to schedule or call, Saturday from 12 to 4, okay? All offers will be heard Saturday night at 6 o'clock, okay?
Okay.
And that's how I would do it, because that way the father can tell the son, listen, we're going to do an open house, you know, 12 to 4, and Keisha's going to be there, okay? And you need to leave. Okay.
And that's the best way to. How do I tell them in a nice way? I don't want them to be there. Just come right out.
You gotta have the. Is the dad strong with their son or no?
Well, the son. I mean, he said to me the other day. He gave me his cell phone. He said, "Well, Keisha, just call me." But I know I've been by there a million times, and like I literally see them go in the house and they don't open the door. But then him and his wife.
Yeah. To answer my question is the father. Is the father strong with the son?
I think so.
You got to try and help the father be a father and tell him, listen, you got to tell your son he can't be there during this time, because people are not going to talk, and it's going to be a problem for us.
Okay.
And then And then if he is there when you do it, then you got to read the riot act to the father. Say, listen, I can't sell the house if you're not going to listen to me. This is what I do, and
right.
We're going to do it again. So, okay. And that's what I would do. Okay, Keisha? That's my advice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a question? Okay, so we're not done yet. Then I've got a few more minutes. I'm going to go through this real quickly because this packet, you guys, you have to go through the magazine this month. There's some really awesome stuff in there. Page 27 is a great postcard at the top. We'd like to thank our customers and clients for making us number one.
Oh, I'm sorry,
Daryl.
I have another one. This is Keisha again.
Oh. Yes,
how
Keisha.
Do I chime into, I mean, I'm in Queens. I want to do Brooklyn, Queens, Nassau, wherever. How do I want to pretty much get in with these developers that's throwing up these houses. And, you know, pretty much go directly to them.
All right. So that I'm going to need more time than I have on this call, Keisha, to answer. Do me a favor. Email me that question. I'm going to address it next call,
God.
Okay? I know. Sorry,
do you have
honey.
A few minutes to just pretty much, do I go to Department of Buildings or Public Records? How do I find who
the
they are?
The best thing, real. Here's the quick answer. Find some vacant land. Get those people to list with you, and then call the builders with the vacant land listings. That's the best way to secure builders.
But
you've got to give them
the Department of Buildings, how because they have they're like the contractors are there on site. You know they have the
yeah. I don't know the answer
out.
To that. I don't know
oh,
the answer because
okay.
everything's different. But find the concept is find vacant land and give it to the builders. All right, now everybody, listen, hang in there. Let's just let me go through this real quick. On page 27 at the bottom, there is a postcard that references a contest that was done. Make a note that the contest refers to a coloring contest for 4th of July on page 34. I gave you a sample. If you were going to do a mailing or a promotion or an ad on a color contest in your marketplace for 4th of July, I gave you a template. On page 34 and page 27 at the bottom is a little thank you note that you can send after the contest. Page 28 is an awesome chart to get a sense before you present price to a homeowner, how committed are they to selling? Are they committed to price or are they committed to moving? Page 29 is a great form for a guaranteed sale where you're telling people you guarantee to sell their property. And if not, you're going to reduce your commission or pay them back. That's page 29. Very simple. Read the ground rules. Very cool. Very great idea. I love page 30. This is great for expireds. One of the problems that expireds have with realtors is that the realtor said they were going to do this, this, and this, and the homeowner didn't feel like the agent did what they said they were going to do. Now, number one, that's not always true, but the problem for a lot of agents, most agents, is that they do what they said they're going to do. They just didn't tell the homeowner that they actually did it, or they didn't give them good feedback or good updates. But the perception for the homeowner is the realtor said they were going to do this, 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 and didn't do it. Page 30. If you brought this to an expired and said, here's my marketing guarantee, here's what I guarantee I'm going to do, I'm going to do more than this, but here's the things that I'm just putting down here for you and the dates and when I'm going to do it. That's page 30. Awesome idea. Page 31 is a similar concept that you can do with buyers. Here's what you're committed to as far as service to provide your buyers. Page 32 is to show a homeowner selling a house is more than just finding the buyer off of a newspaper ad. That once you find the buyer, it goes through a whole process from contract to closing, and page 32 shows that. The analogy I like to use is, you know, if you're going to catch a fish and the buyer's the fish, well, once you catch the fish, bring it on board. You're not going to eat the fish raw. You still got to prep it. You got to scale it. You got to clean it. And then on top of that, you've got to cook it and season it a particular way. Well, that's the buyer. Catching the fish is catching the buyer, bringing them on board, but then we got to get them into contract, and then from contract, we got to get them to closing. There's whole other steps to that process. All right, and page 33 is a flyer, the promotional flyer that you can use for Father's Day. I'm sorry I don't have anything for Mother's Day because it's too late to include that for this month. But, you know, it's in a couple of days. But this was something for one of my students. I loved it. It explains, you know, when I was 4 years old, my daddy can do anything. And then 8 years old, my dad doesn't know exactly everything. 21, gee, my father, he's hopefully out of date. And then 30 years old, maybe we should ask Dad what he thinks. Anyway, it's a cute poem, and it's very touching. 34 is the coloring thing, and then page 35 is the article to help you guys do some prospecting. That's it on the call, so I just made it here by 12 o'clock. Was this call good for you guys? Yes? Hello?
Yes.
Are you,
yes.
Are you still there? Good. One person still. Okay, great. All right, gang. So listen, thanks for sticking with me on the technical challenges we had on this call. And I'm going to post this recording, maybe one or two. I'll see if we can edit it together. It'll be on the website for you. Stay focused. The last thing I'm just going to tell you.
The last recording on here.
It should be. I'll check it out today, and it should be on there. If not, I'll make sure that they put it up. Last thing, everybody, just make sure you focus on, you know, there's a lot of buyers that are coming out during the warmer weather, but there's also lookers, and it can be very distracting, and lookers will cost you money. You'll lose money. So don't get wrapped up in the warm weather and the sun and the shopping and the blah, blah, blah. If there is any time for you to build listing inventory, it's now. So make sure that be your focus during these next couple of months. All right, gang. I look forward to talking to you on the next call. Have a powerful day. Keep smiling and go make a difference in the world. I appreciate you. Thank you very much. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.